That's right. It's that time once again. Parish of the Patriots coming back your way. 119th installment, if you can believe that. Time is flying by, and this show is going to fly by. We're gonna have a great discussion. If you're new around these parts, we kind of just talk about whatever in the first half of the show. More or less, it comes out half. Sometimes we run back and forth, but we just kind of have a discussion, friendly discussion beforehand. We'll get into a Christian-specific segment, second half of the show. And whether you're a Christian believer or not, you'll probably get something out of it. You're welcome to listen. If not, then, you know, maybe you'll get something out of the first half of the show. But in the end, we're looking to understand. We're looking to think things through, give you food for thought, to understand the world around us. It's a nice homey place to get together with the congregation. And, you know, this show is supported by you, the voluntary support of you, the listeners. That's right. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. If you want to be a part of that, you can find the information at the bottom of the description page, because I don't think anybody actually reads the description page. So you don't have to read through the description pages. Slide on down to the bottom. We got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We got Monero. If you have a weirdo cryptocurrency, just drop me an email. I'll do my best to get you an address for that as well. And, you know, just drop me a note if you're a supporter. I always good to hear from you. So, yeah, let's do that. Get into the listener supporter mailbag. One of my favorite parts of the show. We got one from Patrick. No note here, but I did want to say received and very, very much appreciated. You know, the last couple of weeks have been kind of skinny. The offering plate's been coming up pretty short here. It's black pilling for your humble host. So this week I'm less black pilled. So it's always good. Always good to hear from all of you. Always nice to know you're getting something out of it. Jackie writes, Grandpa really enjoyed the Escaping Debt Slavery show. While it doesn't pertain to me, it was nice to hear your take. Rant on the subject. Yes, my takes often do lapse into rants. I can't help it. It never ceases to amaze me how many of our people allow themselves to get hopelessly buried and not even think there's anything wrong with it. Well, it's because of the culture we're in. The society we are in is just built on this premise. And it is hard because we're indoctrinated it into this as children, believe it or not. Because more than likely, I mean, it's the quote-unquote the American way. Run up your Visa card, get another one, buy a house you can't really afford, and a car you don't need and can't afford. You got to have more things, more shiny things. Do, consume, consume, consume. It's the American way. We've been indoctrinated with that. Even as children, we saw our parents perhaps live that way. And it's very hard to break out of that and to really, you know, understand that it's a rigged game. But once you free yourself of it, you can get yourself free of it, you realize that, wow, that's just crazy. Anyway, continue on here. I started to rant. Hope all is well there and that you still have a few cool days left before the unmerciful Texas heat starts. All the best to you and yours. Fill your tanks if you haven't already. I think we're in for a summer that will make the gas lines of the 70s look easy. Kindest regards, Jackie. Well, I don't know. I mean, we may or may not on the fuel thing. It's hard to tell where they're going with the clown sanity. Yes, I just came up with that term. Clown sanity. The clown insanity. Yes, we merge that together. The clown sanity. As far as the heat, too late. We're already there, but it's been rainy. We've been really, really soggy here for the past couple of weeks. Honestly, But, you know, then you get a break in it and you shoot that temperature back up to 90 degrees and you have like this 100% humidity. It's really nice. Very nice out there. GPD, a small tithe for the church from Mr. T. Very much appreciated. Every little bit helps because, you know, honestly, like I say, most people don't send anything. So I never look and say, oh, man, this guy only sent me this much. No, yeah, every little bit helps. I appreciate all of you who financially support the show. And finally, we got this one from Andy. Grandpa, a few days ago, there was a story about a woman who was fired from her job because she wouldn't get the vaccine. The people at her work offered to put her down for a religious exemption, but she refused because her reasons weren't religious and she just didn't think the vaccine had been tested enough. Wow. So she could have had an out. And she's just like, no, I've got to sit here and argue, you know, well, we'll give you an out. She should have jumped all over that. But you see, we're going to see this get more and more coercive. We went through the people that were just, they were just waiting. They were the ones sitting there waiting for the vaccine to come out. And when they said the vaccine's available, man, they were like cutting in line, trying to bribe people so they could get their mystery DNA shot. And then they had to move to the people that they had to be marketed to. And they had to sit here and, you know, basically advertise, oh, this is a great thing. Look here. Everybody wants the shot. You want the shot too, don't you? And they had to market it. But now they've just about gone through the marketing, the people that were susceptible to the marketing. So now they're going to get a little more coercive, and we're seeing that now. Why, we'll give you a chance to win $1 million if you'll go get vaccine. What a leap that is. Yes, there's a governor that's actually doing that. He set up a thing where if you get vaccinated, they'll put you in a drawing. You might win $1 million. We went from just a few short months ago, all of you want the vax, and people are cutting in line, and people are doing all this underhanded, shady stuff because they want the vax, and you want the vax too. And now we're to, we will put you in a chance for $1 million if you will just get this damn shot. And once we get past these stages, it's progressively going to get more and more coercive. They're going to run out of carrots, and they're going to start beating your ass with a stick. Get this thing, because for some mysterious reason, in this instance, the government is very, very worried about your health. Yes, they're very worried. The same government that intentionally infected black soldiers with syphilis during the Tuskegee experiment are really worried that you may get the flu. Let's continue on through our letter. The notes a little different this week. You know, I'm just getting off on it because I read through the whole thing and I forget all the neat, entertaining points I wanted to make. So I'm just kind of stopping and going. I don't know. May not be the best way to do it. Anyway, let's keep going here. This got me thinking about what's to come. I've put up with the mask throughout this whole thing because I'm not quitting my job over a stupid mask, but modifying my DNA is a line I won't cross. It got me looking into the Church of Christ, aka Christian Science. These people believe in rejecting all modern medicine and all can be healed with the power of prayer. I wonder if all it would take is to just claim to be a Christian Scientist to get out of taking the vaccine. And it also got me thinking, would it really be so bad to get to know some of these people? They could be a source of support for people who are refusing the vaccine. They might have networks of people that can hook you up with a job where you don't need to take it. They might have potential mates that one can have kids with who aren't genetically modified. You know, I don't have a religious bone in my body, my friend, although I do love your show, including the Christian part. It's a sign of the times when they got me spinning my wheels like this. Anyway, sorry for the long ramble. If I speak out about any of this IRL, I'll probably get canned. So it was a little pin up. Keep up the good work as always, Andy. So yeah, great to hear from Andy. There's a lot to unpack here in this last bit of this here. And there's a lot to unpack here. And this will be our fine. This was our last listener supporter mailbag. So we're just going to kind of go ahead and unpack what we've got here. And we're just going to seg off into the rest of the show here. So again, thank you for all of you that do financially support the show. But yeah, let's go ahead and start unpacking some of this. You see, that's why I've never done the mask. And I've always said, look, if you got to wear the mask because your job is making you, you got to support your family. You know, I ain't looking down on you for that. I mean, sometimes there's things you got to do, but I've never worn the mask. And for me, that's just to make my life easier because I see that down the road, they were going to get more coercive about the next thing, which is the vaccine. And it's just easier if you drew the line at the mask. Now they come up with this next further line. Well, heck, I've never crossed the first line. So, you know, it's going to make it easier. I had somebody email me through the week. A listener emailed me and said, you know, well, you know, how do you feel like, you know, about the vaccine? You know, because they're going to make it really tough to not take it. I mean, they're going to make it real tough. And my response was, as a Christian believer, that's a line in the sand. And that, I hate to say this, but you know, as we've already said, they're going to run out of carrots and they're going to get the sticks out and they're going to use a bigger and bigger stick. So you need to be mentally preparing for that. You really do. If you're a Christian believer and that's your standpoint as a Christian believer, because my response was, as a Christian believer, this has all the echoing signs of Mark of the Beast, and I'm not going to submit to it because it's a lie, which makes it satanic. And as a Christian believer, that's the standpoint I'm coming from. If you're not a Christian believer, then I don't know what the standpoint is, because at some point in time, you just got to weigh the cost benefit of, well, I can work and support myself and just roll the dice. Not everybody that's taken it has had a hand grow out of their forehead yet, anyway. But yeah, you just, it becomes kind of a thing to where, you know, if they can make the cost of not taking the vaccine high enough, you will eventually submit to the vaccine because, you know, it's just not worth it to hold out. And again, I don't mean to sound like arrogant, you know, like, oh, we'll hold out and you won't, because a lot of Christian believers are eventually going to fold on this thing. For me, if it comes down to, you know, like I said, my response was, it's a line in the sand for me in that, you know, if it means they're going to drag me off to a camp, then so be it, because I'm not going to submit to the mark of the beast. Because I don't say that lightly. And I'm not saying that word for word, this is what John was talking about in Revelation when he said the mark of the beast, but it has all of the hallmarks. You're not going to be able to buy, sell, work, trade, basically do anything unless you have the mark of the beast. And you see, this is where they're going with it. Doesn't matter if that was literally what John was trying to reference in Revelation or not. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, looks like a duck, it's a duck. If it has all the tenets of the mark of the beast in the book of Revelation, then it's the mark of the beast. Whether it was specifically what John was referring to or not is irrelevant. For me, it has all the tenets. I'm not going to go along with it. And it's easier for me because I never went along with the mask thing. Now they're asking for something more extreme than the mask. Was going to be easier for me, for people that have compromised on the mask thing. And again, I mean, I'm not saying you should just lose your job over the mask. I mean, you know, everybody's got to make their own decision on that. But for me, it's easier because I never crossed the mask line. So now they're asking to go further. Well, we're way apart on that. Now, as to the next part about Christians, I'm a little confused on this because I think you're mixing up some different religions here. And it's easy to do. If you're not really a Christian believer and follow this stuff, it can get confusing because the Church of Christ and Scientology are two different things. I mean, if you go to any small town in Texas, if there's only two churches there, there's probably more than likely it's going to be a Church of Christ and a Baptist church. You know, and as the town gets bigger, you're going to get Methodists and Lutherans or whatever going there. But I mean, Church of Christ and a Baptist church, you're going to get those two things. And Church of Christ, what we call the Church of Christ, is not the Church of Scientology. To simplify this, let's just go to the Wikipedia page on Scientology. Scientology is a set of beliefs and practices invented by American author L. Ron Hubbard and an associated movement. We'll skip down to the next paragraph, kind of get to the nitty gritty. Scientology followers believe that a human is an immortal spiritual being that is a resident in a physical body, which the spiritual being Theton. The Theton has had innumerable past lives and is observed in advanced and within the movement's secret Scientology texts that lives preceding the Theton's arrival on Earth were lived in extraterrestrial cultures. Scientology doctrine states that any Scientologist undergoing auditing will eventually come across and recount a common series of events. Part of these events include reference to extraterrestrial life form called Xenu. We're going to stop there because this is some cult bullshit. But that's Scientology. Now, as far as people that believe that they don't ever have to go see a doctor, I mean, some of the Pentecostal religions, I think, believe that. I think the Jehovah's Witnesses are kind of that way as well. I'm not sure. But the Church of Christ is a different thing from Scientology. So I'm a little confused here. But, you know, we're going to go ahead and talk about, I guess we'll just kind of hit on a little bit of all of it. Because like Church of Christ, the biggest thing I remember different from the Church of Christ, they don't believe in musical instruments for their choirs. You know, because if you go to the Baptist church, they got a piano and an organ playing in their choirs. Church of Christ ain't got none of that. They don't believe in any of that. I think they allow like stringed instruments. But anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent here. Scientology is obviously a weirdo, wacko cult. And here's the thing. No, I recommend against this, I guess, to answer the question here. I recommend against this for several reasons. For starters, because it's approaching as, I mean, in a deceptive manner. I mean, you can't go in here with these people and be like, yeah, I'm one of y'all. And you're not really. I mean, come on now. You don't want to do that. And also, if you're talking about actual Scientology, I mean, that's a cult thing. You know, it's a cult thing. Yes, I do believe in the power of prayer. I believe that God can heal us and this and that. But I mean, like, if I break my leg, I'm going to the damn doctor. You know, I mean, that's just stupid. I mean, it's just, you know, why should I be bothering God? I can just go to the doctor and they put a cast on my leg. And in 6 weeks, my leg's going to be healed. I mean, that's just silly now. But you do want to be careful not getting involved in cults and weirdo, you know, weirdo things like Scientology, because that shit's way out there. But I do think one of the reasons all this has you spinning your wheels like this is I think on some level it's going to become more and more apparent. There is a spiritual aspect to what we are seeing here. There's a spiritual war playing out here. I mean, any kind of familiarity with how things are laid out in the Bible and understanding these things, and we're seeing these things play out in real time. And it's really, if you look, it's like I was talking earlier about how this vaccine thing and the way they're going to push it is like a mark of the beast sort of things. I don't think they're going to go, at least not yet, you know, not for a while, but I don't think they're looking at an approach of the government forcing you to take it, but they will just make it where every corporation, because everybody else has been about put out of business, you know, the corporation, you can't do this, you can't do that. The private companies are the ones that are mandating you have to have a vaccine. You know, they turn everything into a privilege. You can't fly without a vaccine. Well, why? Well, you don't have a right to fly. You could just walk. You could just walk. But we are going to see it get more and more coercive. Don't get mixed up in any kind of cult stuff. Like I say, you don't want to approach people being deceptive. Like, hey, yeah, I'm one of you, and I want to get mixed up with all of you. But I'm really just building a network so that I could. You don't want to do that. And if it is a cult type of thing, like Scientology is, where they're talking about extraterrestrial previous life forms and shit, you do that. That shit never ends well. You don't want to get mixed up in any nonsense like that, because it's not that hard. You can find people, you know, to build relations with, and you just network by having relationships with people, getting to know people. Just be your coworkers, you know, like, just be your coworkers, get to know your coworkers, get to be friends with people that you want to be friends with. If you have friends, you got a network. I mean, even if it's two people, you still have a network. You still have two people you can count on. It's better than zero. You don't have to have some vast network that's working together and cooperating together. But at some point in time, yes, you're going to have to take a choice on this vaccine thing. They're going to force you to choose on the vaccine thing. And, you know, everybody's going to have to decide where that line is. You know, I mean, they're going to make it painful. And right now, the stick you'll get at the beginning is it's just inconvenient. Right now, they're saying, oh, look, you can go to a ball game. The government came out and said that they're going to relax the mask thing if you had your vaccine. If you got the vaccine, you don't have to wear the mask anymore. Aren't you glad? Of course, anybody with an eye to see is going to say, well, how are they going to know? You know, you're not wearing your mask. Well, I've had the vaccine. You need to show proof of that. Voila. We're at the vaccine passport, which they are openly working on, while at the same time saying they're not going to do. Which do you think is more likely? You don't have to wear a mask. But you're going to have to prove somehow that you've had the vaccine. It's going to get more and more coercive. They're going to make it more and more inconvenient. You can't fly. You got to have the vaccine. At some point, you can't work because you got to have the vaccine. What happens when you can't go in the grocery store unless you can scan your phone and prove that you had the vaccine? Can't buy groceries. Now what the hell are you going to do? This is something really serious. You know, if y'all haven't yet, you need to be preparing yourself in your mind, because this is where it's going. It's obvious where they're going with this. I have no idea why they are so bound and determined to make people take this vaccine. Again, remember, this is the same government that took the black soldiers and gave them syphilis to see what would happen. They haven't suddenly become benevolent. Does the government seem more benevolent now than they were back then? I mean, It's the most nonsensical conspiracy in this whole thing is this notion that the government is really, really worried about public health and they don't want people getting sick and dying of the flu. And that is the most nonsensical conspiracy. They say it's just a conspiracy theory. But the biggest conspiracy theory is this idea that the government is really, really worried about your health and is worried that you're going to catch the flu. Now look at they're pressing for getting kids vaccinated. And by their own statistics, kids have no danger from this virus, this supposed virus. What I do find interesting, from a Christian standpoint, I brought up the... No, we're not getting into the Christian-specific segment early. But just saying, as a Christian, from a Christian perspective, I was talking about how, you know, this has all the hallmarks of Mark of the Beast. Whether that was specifically what was being referenced there or not. But if you look at that and you go further on, one of the plagues released is like, you know, there's these grasshopper things with stingers, you know, and all of those, they will torment those that have the mark of the beast. I find that interesting because I don't think that like there's literally going to be grasshoppers swarming around stinging people. But I do think, well, okay, it represents something. And why would it only be those that have received the mark? You know, why would it be just those? How would the, you know, the illustration of grasshoppers, why would they be these locusts? Why would they be stinging only those that have the mark of the beast? If you think of it like, wow, that's going to be some hellacious side effects down the road, isn't it? Tormented. I don't know. You know, it's an interesting way to look at it. They for some reason they want you to take the vaccine. Now they're even working on clinical studies to get babies vaccinated. Babies as young as 6 months can get vaccinated for this virus that poses no danger to children. Why? Because they're really worried about your health. Don't be a conspiracy theorist. It's utterly insane. Utterly insane. People don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe that it's that bad. You know, they just, I mean, to convince yourself of the lie that the government is really, really worried about your health and well-being, just, it takes suspending all levels of belief. Yet so many people will do that very, very thing. We were talking earlier, you know, I was saying like Scientology is a cult. And cults are still a thing. You know, back in the 70s, you're old enough, you remember like in the 70s, you think of cults. What do you think of Jim Jones, you know, Jonestown? You know, where they all drank the Kool-Aid. That's if you're younger and you don't understand where that term drank the Kool-Aid from. It came from Jonestown. All these people got mixed up in this cult. And on the surface, it looked like a normal religious thing. This guy was just a real charismatic preacher. But it wound up being a cult and people got sucked into this cult. And they wound up making this little colony. And then it got more and more insane. They wound up committing mass suicide. Really crazy thing. But cults were a big thing like in the 70s and part of the 80s. You don't hear much about cults now, but they're there. They're still here. And in fact, there's cults that are very much in your face. I was thinking before the show, and this was one of the things I wanted to discuss today, and that is the cult of wokeism. I look at this woke thing. This, because there's no really other good term for it. Yes, I mean, you can say commies, but it goes beyond just like simple, like Bolshevik communism. It's not that. Globalism, well, that encapsulates like what the elite, what the ruling elite are going for. But they have all of these different legions that the ruling elite uses. The regime, to steal one of Dr. Johnson's terms, the regime uses these different legions, you know, whether it's BLM or the Antifa legions or the radical trannies and homosexual legions. These are all just different units of forces that the elite uses to accomplish their goal. And one of these legions that they use is this cult of the woke. The cult of the woke, and it is very, that has the very hallmarks of a cult. It really does. And one of the things that really is I find fascinating about the cult of woke is because I'm just one of those people, I observe what people do. And even if it's horrible and self-destructive, I can't help but to find it interesting. You know, just, I don't know, like, I'm not a scientist, as it were, but just like from a scientist, just as an observational, watching how people work and act, I find this cult of wokeism be interesting. It's interesting. One of the hallmarks of it is how small and ever shrinking is their morality box. They have a morality box, and it doesn't have a defined border. You look at Christianity as a Christian believer, you know, we have this box, this morality box, and when we, you know, the things that we consider moral and just or acceptable fit within that box. And then you have things that are outside of that box. You know, you have back like this boundary in this box. If you look at like Islam, it's very much different in that it is a rules-based religion. Is a rules-based religion, and as long as you find, and again, they have this morality box, and their box consists of the rules. And if you follow the rules of Islam and don't break those rules, you're pretty much within the box. If you don't break those rules, it fits in your box. But the point is, whether you're talking about Christianity or Islam or even Buddhism, you know, the morality box is pretty well defined. Now, the modern Cuck Church, MCC, you know, they have done their best to essentially erase the borders of the box where everything is in the box, so nothing's in the box at all. In other words, there is no Christian morality in the MCC. They've just erased the borders and everything is acceptable. Except actual Christian teaching that falls outside of any bounds or boundaries that they have in the morality box. But the point is, with actual Christianity or Islam or whatever, you have a pretty well-defined morality box, and it's not hard. I mean, anybody can kind of understand the religion and understand what's going to fall within the morality box and what isn't, and the boundaries are pretty much set. You know the boundaries, they're pretty much set, and you're going to have a pretty good understanding of what's going to fit into that boundary and what isn't. And I would even argue that, you know, even with Islam, and again, I'm not trying to act like I know about Islam, you know, how do you don't understand this part? Look, read the Quran. I'm not pretending to be all-knowing, but I do understand that the morality box for Christianity, I understand that's where my understanding lies, what understanding I have. Or even Islam, it's a pretty odd box. I mean, you can go about your life and pretty easily fit things in your morality box. But you see, the cult of wokeism is completely different. Their morality box does not have set boundaries. Where Christianity or Islam or Buddhism, that you've got these, you know, the boundaries remain the same. So it's easy to understand and it's easy to understand where you're doing right and things fit in the box and not, but the cult of wokeism is different. Their morality box is tiny. It's this very, very tiny box, and it's always shrinking, and the borders of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable is always shifting and always changing, and you never know when you're going to catch yourself being outside of the morality box, and you will be swarmed. You will be attacked by fellow members of your cult. It is just like a cult. If you understand how cults work, wokeism is a cult. It's a cult mindset, and it's a cult mindset that's fomented online and promoted online. You know, there's probably very few actual woke people. I mean, I guess if they go to a BLM protest or something, you know, and get together there, and then they're the little corner of woke people, consisting mostly of whites, by the way. I mean, yes, blacks go along with a certain, you know, like college radicalized blacks will claim to be woke, blah, blah, blah. But they're more pushing a pro-black agenda or even a radical communist black agenda than actual wokeism. Most of the wokeism you run into online, especially, is going to be promoted by white people, particularly younger white women. And they'll have their orbiters of soyish white guys that are going along with it and may or may not believe in that crap. But mostly they're probably, if you got down to the truth of the matter, mouthing that stuff because they're hoping to get sexual access to these younger white women that are all part of this wokeism thing. But the thing is, with the woke, it is a cult. It may exist almost entirely online, but it's still a cult, and it has all the hallmarks of a cult. And one thing, like I said, I find fascinating is their morality box is much, much smaller. It's tiny in comparison to that of either Christianity or Islam. They have this tiny, tiny morality box, and it's got to fit in the box. And if it doesn't fit in the box, logic doesn't apply. This can be funny and fascinating because these will be the same people that will oftentimes tell you, you know, I love science, you know, that line, that meme, I freaking love science. And it's completely illogical because if it doesn't matter how logical something is, or you could even prove it with science, it doesn't matter because if it doesn't fall into their tiny morality box, then it doesn't count. They can justify anything because it's not within their morality box. I saw some of this play out I observed this play out. And again, you can't apply logic to these people. This is why the whole, well, see, your view is actually racist, doesn't work on them, because it doesn't matter that it's contradictory and what they're saying is technically, quote unquote, could be perceived as racist. It doesn't matter. All that matters is if it's in their morality box. This religion, this cult of wokeism, is based not on rules like Islam or on set principles and faith like Christianity. It's all based on how you feel and how the other members of the cult perceive you and accept you and either, you know, oh, yes, you're doing great and praise you, or you're the outcast. And they're always looking for an outcast. I call them the ranks of the eternally offended. They are the eternally offended because that their whole existence revolves around being constantly offended by something. This is what keeps them going. The eternally offended will never be not offended because that's how their entire existence is defined, by finding something to be offended about. That is their entire existence, as their entire belief is centered around that. So it's all emotionally based, and it's all based on how their peers and the cult view them. If the cult praises them and says they're a good person, and look at you, you're so woke, then they feel good. They're uplifted. They get a little dopamine high from that. But at the same time, they have to live with this constant knowledge that they could be the next outcast. They could be the one that is found in violation and all of a sudden find themselves stepped outside of the morality box. Unlike in Christianity, there's no forgiveness in the woke cult. If you find yourself, if you're a member of the woke cult and you find yourself outside of the ever-shifting boundaries of the morality box, there is no forgiveness and you can get back in. You are condemned forever. You're attacked and you're cast out. As they go through their wokeism rituals of finding things to be offended about and attacking people, you know, in the back of their minds, they have to know that it could be them next. I think that has to be a horrible, unsettling way to live. What set me off thinking about this is, as you know, I watch two kinds of TV entertainment, Japanese subtitle anime and Korean dramas. No secret there. I don't watch anything on American TV because it's utter crap. Anyway, so in Korea, I'm watching a Korean drama this past week. Yes, this is going to be relevant. Stay with me. Then they're like, he's going to start talking about K-dramas. Don't even want to hear about that. No, but there is, it's going to be relevant. Trust me. Anyway, so I was watching a Korean drama this past week, and something I didn't even notice while I'm watching through the drama because it just didn't even register. Because you see, unfortunately, a lot of younger white women have discovered Korean dramas as well. And so with that demographic, you're going to wind up with a certain contingent of wokeism. Wokeism. Now, you know, I watch anime and I watch Korean dramas, and I refuse to talk politics in any comments sections on this because that's not, yeah, I got this form. I can go talk politics wherever the hell. This is my entertainment time. I don't want to hear about no damn politics when I'm watching entertainment shows. But anyway, so I'm watching the show and there was an offhanded remark. I don't remember how it went exactly because it was so inconsequential, but there was an offhanded remark, a joke made in this drama. And one of the characters said something, was teasing the other one about your skin's getting darker because you've been out in the sun. He's like, my skin's not getting darker. You know, I'm telling you, my skin is not getting darker. It was just that fast. It was just an offhand. I didn't think anything of it. And I'm scrolling through the comments and the eternally offended had found something to latch onto and launched off into a diatribe about how this is why Korean society is wrong and these people. Yeah, and I'm just paraphrasing, by the way. I don't have it pulled up. I don't want to. But, you know, there's something wrong because they live in a homogenous society. They don't understand how the outside world works because, you know, the outside world has to be the U.S. or maybe Europe and Britain. You know, the West is the outside world. See, China and Russia and Japan, those places don't count. Only the United States of woke. That's all that counts. They went off on this diatribe saying that this is a problem, that they have this problem. And I'm sitting here, and of course, I don't know if they have sock puppet accounts. They just answer themselves, or maybe other contingents of wokeism. I don't know. Other cult members. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But, you know, oh, yes. You're right. Oh, praise you. You discovered something to be offended about. And I couldn't help myself. I responded with something along the lines of, well, you should just quit watching then, because I doubt that the people in Korea are laying awake at night worried about the fact that somebody got offended over a one-liner that nobody else even noticed except the eternally offended. And somebody responded, one of these cult members responded, you see, that's the problem. They're not laying awake at night. They don't realize that they have societal bias. And I pondered, I didn't respond anymore. I'm not getting bogged down in that kind of crap. This is something I do for entertainment. It's like a relief, just a, you know. But I did have to ponder that. How it doesn't matter how logical what you say is, it matters what's inside the morality box. These people will no doubt claim that they are the anti-racist. They are the most not racist people, while at the same time essentially condemning an entire Asian country because they don't share their white woman worldview. their white woke woman worldview. An entire nation of Asians is wrong because they don't share their young white woman woke worldview. Is it as incredibly racist and arrogant supremacist worldview? I think that's kind of a supremacist one. Nobody's ever been able to tell me exactly what white supremacy is, which is entertaining because I've been accused of being a white supremacist so much. But if you could define it, that seems like a pretty white supremacist sort of view. This entire Asian country is wrong. Well, why? Well, because they just live among other Asians and they don't view the world in the same narrow parameters that I do. So they're wrong. It got me thinking, though, about how their morality box, it's got to fit in the morality box. See, that never occurs to them. It doesn't matter. What matters is what's going to fit in the morality box at this moment. And what fits in the morality box is, oh, they're evil. They're bad thinkers. They have a homogenous society. And they said something that I find offensive over here in this other country from my point of view. I find it breathtaking, the amount of arrogance that this type of world feels like. I watch these Korean shows. They're very entertaining. The acting's good. The writing is usually pretty good. You know, I mean, just for mindless entertainment, it's something I enjoy. I don't sit around doing it all day, but, you know, for mindless entertainment. But you have to understand, whether you're an anime person or a Korean drama person, watch a little bit of these Asian shows, you're going to see things reflected. They're completely foreign to you because this is a foreign people. This is a different race of people. See, I can watch these things and enjoy it, but they do things and there's certain things in their culture that are absolutely foreign to me. The way they behave and certain customs they have, it's completely foreign to me. You know, I can understand that because I understand, you know, how do I want to put it? Diversity actually exists for me because I understand that there's racial differences. Different peoples have different ways. So, which in the world of wokeism, that's condemned. That worldview is condemned because all races are the same except for the color of the skin. So when they view another race doing something completely different, having different customs and viewing the world in a different way, they can't accept that because diversity means that all the races are the same except for skin color. And you get this contradiction. So the morality box just keeps flexing and shrinking and trying to pivot around. You know, they're trying to fit this anti-Asian hate thing in the morality box by ignoring the fact that almost virtually all of the anti-Asian quote-unquote hate crimes in this country are being committed by the blacks. They're trying to turn it into pretending it's a white supremacy thing or something. They're trying, it doesn't make sense, but they're trying to fit that into the morality box. The boundaries of their morality box is like the cell walls of an amoeba. It's like shifting around. They're trying to make it fit in. Oh, well, it's white supremacy that these blacks keep attacking Asian people in New York City or California or wherever the case may be. But no, I understand that races are different. I actually appreciate diversity. I can watch these shows and see things that they do that I would never do. They interact with each other in a way that, you know, white people, we would never interact that way. And it doesn't bother me. Why? Because I'm not trying to apply my morality to these people. I understand that they are a different people. They're not me. How can I apply, you know, my white worldview on how I interact with other white people? And, well, why are these Asians not, you know, why are these Koreans not acting that way? How come they're doing it that way? That's not the way we act. Well, yeah, that's not the way we act because we're a different race. They act that way. Doesn't make their way wrong. Doesn't make my way wrong. It just means we're different. This is so not that hard to understand. They're different peoples. They got different ways. They'll sit there in a casual conversation and you yell at each other and slap somebody upside the head. If you did that as a white man to another white man, somebody's throwing fists. But you would in Korea, two friends can sit there and start arguing over something, reach over and slap the other one on the back of the head, and they just keep rolling. It's all cool because they're different. That's their culture. They're different. They're a different people. It doesn't make their way wrong. Doesn't make my way wrong or right or whatever the case. We're just different. But you see, the one thing that the tiny morality box of the cult of wokeism cannot allow for is differences. It has to fit in that morality box. This is why the fact that they promote so-called diversity while at the same time being beyond what the Puritans ever were, they cannot tolerate anything being different. Their morality box is so small, it has to fit in that box, so they can't tolerate diversity, regardless of what lip service they give it. Because at the end of the day, when they give lip service to diversity, what they really mean is anti-white hatred. This is one of the founding things here. One of the founding precepts of wokeism is anti-whiteism. You'll never find a woke person promoting white interests. It's not going to. Why? Well, because it starts from a standpoint of white people are bad. It starts from a standpoint of anti-white hatred. The point here is that when you see these contradictions, like they give lip service to diversity, but they cannot tolerate the notion that, say, the Korean people have a completely different way of viewing the world than they do, and they can't tolerate diversity. You have to understand, the contradiction is there because they're having to fit everything in their ever-shrinking, ever-shifting, tiny morality box. And so you are going to see these constant contradictions because it's a cult. It is a cult mindset. It's a cult mindset. There may not be a charismatic leader like you would normally see in a traditional cult, but all the other aspects of a cult are there. All of the one now, like you think of a cult and all the, you know, you walked into a cult and you walked through a cult and they all keep mouthing like the same word over, you know, the same phrase over and over again, and it creeps you out. But you think about it, these people are the same way. They say the same things over and over again. It's a cult mindset. Like I say, there may not be a charismatic leader at the center of it, but they still have the cult mindset. Maybe the fact that they don't have a charismatic leader is one of the reasons why those boundaries are always shifting. I don't know. But I think it is interesting. I'm looking at the clock here. We got to get into the Christian specific segment, so I need to wrap this up. But I just found it interesting. If you look at these wokeism people as a cult, you're going to understand it better. And you do need to understand. And the point of this isn't just sit here and go, look at them, they're stupid. The point is to understand them better, because you need to understand all of these different people, why they do what they do. If you understand why they do what they do, you're going to be able to get through this world a little bit better. If you view these wokeism cultists for what they are, and they are cultists, you're going to better understand why they promote the things, because you can't make sense out of that which is insane. You know, if you sit down with a schizophrenic and he was describing all of his hallucinations and delusions to you, and you were sitting there trying to make logical sense out of those things, you wouldn't be able to, because it's insanity. It's the same with these cult members. They have this brainwashed mindset, and you're not going to be able to make any sense out of it. You're not going to be able to talk logical sense into them. That's why any attempts at, see, what you're saying is actually racist, though that might be true to point that out. It's not going to get through to them because they're brainwashed. They have this mindset. If it's in their morality box, it's good. It doesn't have to make sense. They're not making logical sense. This is based on emotion. So you this will make more sense to you if you understand these people not as having some sort of weird political view or just being silly, or just, would you brush a cult off as silly? There's some things that drives me crazy about conservatives. They'll look at this wokeism and mock it like, oh, well, they're just stupid, they're just silly. Well, that may be true, but would you walk through a cult and not feel like they were dangerous? I mean, because this mindset is a dangerous mindset, both to the people partaking in it and to those around them, just as any other cult isn't considered harmless. At some point in time, a cult mentality, it usually becomes destructive. Whether it destroys the members of the cult or those around them or both, it usually becomes destructive. Anyway, you can understand these people better, and when you encounter them, you know, you can understand them better if you don't think them as whatever view you might have had before. Like I said, it's, oh, they're just silly and brush them off as nonsensical. Or you think of them as simply a political movement or a political viewpoint or as being communists. They're not communists. They're cultists. And if you understand that, I think it'll all make more sense to you. So speaking of fitting things into our morality box, we're way past time. We got to get in here and get into our Christian specific segments. You know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. So as you get settled in this week, let's just go ahead and jump right in. Let's get a little Bible reading in. We have to be official with the Christian specific segment, the sermon. If we don't read something from our Bible, we'd be like, well, that just coming from you. So let's kind of get, I like to give us some context though. If I can find something from our Bibles, it'll give us at least a jumping off spot and maybe give us some biblical context for what we're going to discuss. Because I was a little, no, I actually have it in my head what we're going to talk about this week. And I really want to approach this in a way where it doesn't come off as just like, you know, I'm always critical of the MCC because their sermons are essentially just, you know, motivational speaking, maybe a little bit of self-help, you know, and it's for the most part useless because there's no actual spiritual food there. And I was really concerned because I think we're going to talk about something today that really, really has the potential to help you. But I don't want it to come across like we're doing that, like I'm doing that, you know, falling into that, you know, you can do it here, you know. But so I'm kind of walking a line with that, you know, because what we're going to discuss is what I think can help a lot of you, maybe, or somebody, if it helps anybody. I guess that's ultimately the goal, to kind of maybe like break out of where you're at. I mean, we're you have to understand, we're in weird times. This is not normal. What we're going through right now is not normal. And yet we still have to live. We still have to move on with our lives. We still have to carry on. We still have to try to get something out of our lives. Let's go ahead and jump in here. Let's get the 100, hit the 103rd Psalm. We're going to do verses 8 through 18, I believe. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. For as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower in the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. There's a couple parts here I think are useful for us, where he says he removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And where it says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. And this once again highlights, you know, the difference we talk about, the difference between when in this life, you know, we are in the realm of time, you know, but God dwells in the realm of the eternal, which is the absence of time. And we always seem to keep coming, circling back to that, because it's such an important thing, I think, to understand. And that's going to be relevant to what we're going to discuss today, because you got to get free. You got to get free from your past. It says here that he removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. So often we'll find ourselves, you know, praying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. But the problem isn't God forgiving you of your sins. Most of the time, the problem is forgiving yourself, you know, letting it go. You feel like that's somehow copping out, you know, like you've got to hold a grudge against yourself. Also, oftentimes, we'll be anxious. You'll find yourself in a funk and maybe depressed, and you're anxious. And if you really think about it and you get down to it, well, what's wrong? Well, you're anxious. You're anxious about the future, especially here in Clown World, where the future is so uncertain. You know, there's nothing you can count on. Does anybody, you know, remember 20, 30 years ago, you could sit here and plan for the future and think, in 10 years, I'll be here. But you can't do that now. I don't think it's even reasonable to assume this society is going to be functioning on any meaningful level in 10 years. How do you plan for the future? And you can't help but to feel anxious about that and to feel upset. And it affects how you live your life now. And this is going to get to the heart of what we're going to discuss today, which is living your life now. It's important because so often I've known people in life and I've run into people, and you no doubt have too, and they're very angry, and they're angry at, they'll oftentimes be angry at God, And when you really get down to it, they're angry at God for the way their lives have turned out. And make no mistake, we live in insane clown world, and that's not to be denied. Just as I said just a few minutes ago, this is not normal times. You have to always bear that in mind. But for the most part, most of the time, our lives are not the way they are because of an external force. God did not manipulate us into our lives being shit if your life is shit. Our lives are where they're at as accumulation of the decisions we made over time. You know, you made these different decisions, and voila, if you went back in time and made the exact same decisions again, you would wind up in the exact same place. Nothing would be different. This may sound like, well, no shit, Sherlock sort of moment, but the fact of the matter is you can't go back in time. So what do people do? They still keep making those decisions. They don't break out. They don't make any, they don't take a change of course. They don't approach things from a different angle. You can see why I was kind of worried about this coming across as like some kind of motivational speaking self-help claptrap like the MCC would stand up there and do. And it's not our intention here. But the reality is, you know, like I say, people say, man, if I could go back, I would do things different. But they wouldn't. Most people actually wouldn't do that because it's so uncomfortable to do things different. Even though like your decision-making process and the actions you take repetitively in your life, even if they have total shit results, you're comfortable with it because I think it's a certain amount of predictability. Even though you're not getting the results you want, that's the idea that, well, you know, at least you there's no unknown there. But you're not going to get a different result because the fact of the matter is, obviously, you cannot go back in time to try to start over again. We always talk about time is linear time. This limited little, this experiment God has created, this little realm, this little box that God has created and put us in called time. For us, it's like, I think of time in our lives like a fuse, you know, a fast burning fuse. Like at the end, there's a piece of dynamite on it. And when you're born, that thing is lit off and it's going, you know, and you can't go back here to where the fuse is already burnt. That's impossible. It's only going one direction, and when it hits the end, it blows up. And that's kind of how our lives are. We know you cannot go back. You only move forward. It only goes in one direction, and the only time you have is right this second and this very moment. The moment 6-7 minutes ago when we started this segment will never exist again. Now, here's the thing. When you let yourself, because, see, like I say, we read here in the Psalm, it says that God removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. And yet so often, like I said, we'll be praying, you know, forgive us, Lord. But the problem is we're trying to forgive ourselves. We're trying to because we're holding on to something in our past. Don't get me wrong. You need to learn from the mistakes of your past and learn what works. You know, not everything in your past is negative. If you focus on those things only, it will seem that way. You'll forget all of the positive things. If you're one of those people that continually beats themselves up for mistakes they've made or sins they've committed, you'll get this viewpoint like your whole life has been nothing but making mistakes and sinning, and you'll start being one of these self-loathing people. The problem isn't forgetting that God casts your sins as far as the east is from west, but you don't. So often people hold on to their past, or perhaps it's the future. Perhaps it's the future that bothers you. You find yourself anxious. It's understandable. Like I said, we live in this insane clown world. So it's normal to be anxious about the future, but you have to understand the past or the future have one thing in common, and that is that they do not exist. I may say that again, the past does not exist, the future does not exist. Talked a minute ago about the illustration of a fast-burning fuse. It's gone. Where that fuse, you know, all that exists is where the spark is right now. Where that fuse burned 2 foot down the road, where it's already burned, it doesn't exist anymore. It just blew away. It's gone. You can't go back and find a spark there. Likewise, if you go forward, there's no spark there either because the spark is located right here. It's moving, but it doesn't exist there yet. We get hung up on these things that don't exist. Let's look at this a little closer because we're not doing New Age claptrap here, I promise you. Think about it this way. Your past, to illustrate how your past doesn't exist, can you pick it up? Can you handle it? It exists only in your mind. You cannot pick it up. You cannot look at it. You cannot put it up on a shelf. You cannot turn it around, dust it off. It doesn't exist. It's never going to exist again. And yet so often we tie ourselves to it. We get so hung up on it. We get so burdened down. You get so burdened down with what, you know, mistakes you've made or what you think you did wrong or maybe something that went really well because it can work the other way, you know. You get people, well, it was so much better back when. It's so much better. You get the people like that. It's the other extreme. Oh, it's so much better. I wish things could have been like that. And they idolize, you know? Like these people, that I know you know who I'm talking about. There's people that will sit there and tell you. I remember one time when I was in high school, and I hated being in school, by the way. but I remember there was a teacher, and this teacher, you know, was old. well, you know, I couldn't say how old she was because, you know, when you're in high school, you know, 30's old, but she was older than 30. But I remember I had this teacher, and in a high schooler's point of view, she was old. And I remember she stood at the front of class and looked at everybody with a somber expression on her face. And she said, enjoy these days as much as you can. These are the best days of your life. This is as good as it's ever going to get. And even as a dumbass teenager without a clue, I thought to myself, what a pathetic life this person's probably lived, that she thinks being in high school was like the pinnacle. It all went downhill from here. But that's not realistic. I have no idea what kind of life this woman led. But I can assure you, high school wasn't the pinnacle of it. That she had just created that image in her mind because she was so hung on the past that was the glory days. That was the best days. Oh, that was, if things could have been that way, but it's not real. You wind up creating this unrealistic image of how things were, but they weren't that great. Or, as the case may be, they weren't that bad. But regardless of the view, the point remains that it doesn't exist. You cannot go back. People get hung up on their past. Yes, somebody can come and say, hey, remember when you did that, and bring your past up, but it still doesn't exist. You can't go pick it up. You can't go carry it around and say, hey, you want to see my past? Come here. Pull it off the shelf. Look at this shit. Ha! You know, you can't do that. You're hung up on something that doesn't exist. You understand? Time itself is that fuse burning. You spend all your time trying to talk about something that exists only in your mind. People can talk about your past, and they will, but they can't quote unquote bring it up, in the sense that they can't pick it up and bring it to, look at this, I'm going to show you. When you get so hung up on a lie, whether you idealize, you know, idolize it, you know, things were so awesome, man, back when I was, my life was perfect then. Or whether you just get hung up on, I made these mistakes, I can't forgive myself, and every day I get up and think about how did I do that? Why did I do that? I wish I'd have done different. In both cases, you're hung up on a lie because it doesn't exist anymore. Time does not, that part of time is gone. It's not coming back. When we started this show, that's never going to be again, ever. It's not going to be repeated. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and at 13 minutes into the show having the same exact discussion again. This moment is going to be gone. You have to understand that what you have is right now. And again, likewise, it's the same way with the future. No, you do things in the right now that can affect the future if you're around when that part of time arrives. And so you do want to take actions in the right now to maybe plant seeds. I think of it as planting seeds. Plant seeds for a better future when it arrives. When, you know, if and when the future, because we're, none of us are promised that the fuse may, you know, when we're going to hit the end of that fuse for us. But you can plant seeds for a better future so that if you're here when it arrives, you know, your life is better. You know, you can't just live in the moment like, oh, tomorrow we may die anyway. Screw it. Let's just do whatever today, because you're going to make a mess of things. We understand that the future isn't promised to us, but it doesn't exist for us yet. Yes, we want to take actions now that, you know, like I said, I think of it as planting seeds so that when it does get here, you know, maybe things will be better. We put ourselves in a better position for a better now when it arrives. But as it is, the future doesn't exist yet either, any more than the past does. This is important because you get so hung up on, where am I going to be next year at this time? What am I going to do if this happens? What am I going to do if that happens? And it's fine to be prepared for as many eventualities as you can. But if you're not actually taking action to prepare for something, then you're just simply worrying over something that doesn't exist. It's liberating for your mind, and it'll lift you up spiritually if you can start letting go of this crap that isn't even real, be it your past or future that may or may not ever even come to being. If you look back on your life, and the older you get, the easier this is. When you look back on your life and you think of times in your life when you were maybe concerned or even hopeful over something to come around in the future, you know, man, when this happens, it's going to be awesome. Or, man, what am I going to do? Because if this happens, and my life is going to be ruined. And when you're able to look back on those times and you realize that neither wound up being right, you know, That which you were so motivated over, and if you can just do this, or you can just achieve this, or you can just buy this, is going to, man, your life is going to be great. And maybe you actually did that thing, but it wasn't that great. It wasn't what you had pumped yourself up to think it was. Likewise, things that you were worried about or anxious about, oh, what's it going to be? You know, oh, this is going to be so horrible. Oh, I'm dreading it. I'm dreading having to go do this, or I'm dreading having to face this. And you look back now and it's like, it really you survived it. I mean, yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't pleasant, but you lived through it. The point is, the moment came, you went through it. And you passed through it and you went on. So what was the point of all that time you spent before that moment arrived, being anxious and worrying about it? It didn't accomplish anything, just besides making yourself miserable. You were just all worked up over something that didn't even exist. And when the moment arrived, it existed in that flash, in that flicker, in that brief moment, there it is. And then you passed on through it and went on with your life. Didn't even last that long. You probably, when it comes to things that you're worried about, you'll spend multiple amounts more time worrying about it than actually going through the thing. You spend all of this time all worried about, well, this thing, oh, I've got to go do this, or whatever the case may be. I don't know. But then the moment comes and it's over, and you wasted a month worrying about having to deal with this or how you were going to fix this problem or whatever the case may be. You spent a month worrying about that. And when that moment arrived, it was over in an hour. And then you went on. You wasted a month worrying about something that didn't even exist. Blew through it and went on with life. Got to let all that shit go. You're wasting your nows. You're burdening yourself down. And God, if you get this mindset, you know, and you know, you get this mindset that, you know, the Lord, regardless of repentance and regardless that you've accepted Jesus and you're trying to follow Christ in repentance, and you know, but somehow you just get this little voice in the back of your head that's telling you, God ain't going to let that go. No, God is not the problem here. It's you that's not letting it go. It's you that's holding a grudge. It's not the Lord. If you catch yourself praying over and over, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me, you're talking to yourself. God isn't hearing that shit because he's not the issue here. It's you. It's you holding on to something that doesn't even exist anymore. And this is important because if you're bound to that, it's gonna hold you to that. You're chained to something that isn't real. And you can't start being what you need to be. You can't start being that servant of God that you need to be because you're chained down. You're chained down by that thing that isn't even real anymore. It's gone. One of the recurring themes we talk about here at the Parish of the Patriots is how repentance is action. You know, it's repentance is not saying sorry, just simply saying, I mean, that's a place you can start from, is recognizing that you've made a mistake. But in a biblical sense, repentance is taking action. It's trying to take actual steps forward to do better, to not do those things anymore. Understand this. Repentance is not beating yourself up. Repentance is not hating yourself. Repentance is not, well, if I really get down on myself and really, really hate myself because of the mistakes I've made, then God will feel sorry for me and understand that. I really, really am sorry. Once again, this goes back to trying to convince God of something. You know, you're not convincing him of anything. He already knows. Repentance is action. It's not beating yourself up. You're not repenting because you sit around all day thinking what a horrible person you are and you hate yourself because of the sins or the mistakes you've made in life. That's not repentance. That's just self-loathing. How do you expect God to love you if you hate yourself? That doesn't even make any sense. And yet it's harder for you to take actual repentance because why? You're chained down. You're so busy sitting around hating yourself because, you know, you're sitting there staring at what you've done in the past, that you never take the actual repentance. You're not taking the actual steps forward that you need to. Satan loves it. He loves it. You're sitting around wallowing around. You think you're doing something righteous. You think you're doing something great. You say, see, God, see, I'm so sorry for the sins I've committed. You're bound and you're chained to them. And eventually you're probably going to commit those sins again. Probably going to do it again because you can't let go of it. It's what you can't let go of is something that doesn't even exist except in your mind. You're the only one that keeps rehashing it. You're the only one that keeps going over and over again. Not God holding it against you. It's you holding it against yourself. And this weakens your faith because you project that onto the Lord, which is your hang up. You're the one that's hung up on it. God's waiting for you to start taking some real action to, you know, don't do that again, you know, but you're not. You're just sitting there. You're just sitting there holding, you know, holding on to something in your mind that doesn't even exist anymore, hung up on something in your mind that doesn't even exist anymore. God's waiting to see if you're going to take some actual definitive repentance action moving forward. And how do you do that? Well, just by what you're doing today. If you're trying to overcome something in your life, what are you doing right now in this instant, in this moment? If it's something that, you know, if you're not doing that thing that you're hung up on, then congratulations, you're repenting. It's just what you're doing right this minute, not what you're going to do tomorrow, not what you're going to do next month, not if, you know, well, a year from now. None of that makes a shit. It's what you're doing right now. What are you doing right now in this moment of time that you exist? Because if you can live every moment that you exist in that manner, guess what? After a while, it'll be a year gone by and you've done a year of doing better than what you had. And it becomes a habit for you. And this is true, actual repentance. And the Lord is going to honor his part of the bargain. Don't let Satan get in your head and start making you think, oh, well, you know, yeah, but I might do all that. But then God is, no, that's a lie. I mean, God is going to hold up. That's not the problem. God is never the problem. He will hold up his end of the bargain. What are you doing right now in this instant? Not what you did yesterday, not what you were doing 10 minutes ago, right now. Are you doing the things that you want to stop doing? Or are you actually doing something else? Are you actually seeking the Lord? Are you actually, you know, spending some time in prayer? Are you just living your life in a more positive manner? Well, then you're repenting. You get so hung up on a future you haven't seen and may never see. None of us are promised tomorrow, or a past that even doesn't even exist anymore. You cannot go back and mess with it. You're hung up on these things that don't even exist, and you're missing the opportunity, the moment right now when you can be walking in faith, when you can be walking in repentance, when you can be doing what you need to do. And it doesn't have to be some grand thing, just doing what you need to do right now in this moment. And if you keep doing that in these moments that you have, they will eventually pile up. One of the things I really don't like about how like addiction programs work, be it AA or narcotics, you know, these different drug rehab, but they will have these deals like, you know, oh, congratulations, you know, here's your pin or whatever. I don't know what the hell they give out. You know, 1 year sober, 1 year sober. Congratulations, you're 1 year sober. I hate that approach. I think it's, I'm not being down on those programs. I'm not sitting here telling you if you're in one of those programs and it's working for you, quit it. It's stupid. I'm not telling you that, but I don't like that aspect of it. Well, why? Because what happens? They give you that little badge thing, little medal or whatever the hell it is. It says you're 1 year sober. It's marking the days. It's got you looking backwards. You're looking back over here. Wow, 1 year, 1 year. I made it 1 year. You're looking the wrong direction. Let's say you went 1 year sober, haven't taken a drink in a year. You used to be a raging alcoholic. You've made it. They gave you your little silver or bronze or whatever the hell button that says 1 year sober. And then tonight you celebrate by killing a fifth of Jim Beam. And then what? Oh, shit. I got to start all over. There's a lie. Because all that matters there in that mindset was the last time you got shit-faced and this time that you got shit-faced. Those are the only things you're focused on. You went 12 months when you weren't getting shit-faced. You were doing something else, but that all got wiped out. None of it matters. All that mattered is that last time you got shit-faced and this time you got shit-faced. Anything good you did in that whole year somehow now has been wiped off the slate. It doesn't matter. You have to throw away your little silver badge and start all over again. It's nonsensical. And I don't think that's a positive way to view things, to move forward. It doesn't matter if you went a year without getting shit-faced. It doesn't matter if you've gone a day without getting... Are you getting shit-faced right now? In this moment? No? Well, congratulations. Are you making a conscious effort? I'm not getting shit-faced right now. I'm gonna spend this time praying. Then I'm going to go out here and do some work, because if I'm busy working, I ain't got time to get shit-faced. You're repenting. Congratulations. Doesn't matter if it was a day. What are you doing right now? I hate that as, oh, you're 6 months sober. Congratulations. Oh, 6 months. I don't want to blow that. I don't want to blow my 6 months. Because I have to start all over, which is a lie. You can't start over. You can't go back. What do you mean start all over? That doesn't even make any sense. You're just continuing to move forward. You can start all over again. I got to go back here 6 months ago. Start this thing all over. No, no. You only move forward. Hung up on, it's been a year, it's been 6 months, it's been a day, it's been a week, it's been... What are you doing right now? If you're doing right, if you're consciously making the effort right now, congratulations, you're doing what you need to do. Yeah, but what about next? You may die in the next minute from a heart attack. Don't worry about next week. What are you doing right now? Quit getting so hung up on, well, what if? Yeah, but what if I put all this effort in and then next week I screw it? Don't worry, next week will take care of itself. Just take care of your right nows. Again, if you can invest, plant seeds for the future, for a better future, make an investment, that will affect your future. But this moment still won't exist. If you invested in stocks that went up and now in 3 years, things are better for you. Well, you planted seeds and they came to fruition. But the moment that you bought the stocks no longer exists and is never going to exist again. Anyway, we'll wrap up on this note. I hope somebody got something out of this today. The goal here again is to understand repentance and not bind yourself to something that's not real. You can't bind yourself to the past. That'll never be again. It doesn't exist. You can't go back, nor to a future that may never exist. You have, and if you are around when it comes to exist, I can guarantee you it's not going to look like what you imagine it's going to be. I mean, there may be, some things you did kind of imagine that is kind of how it turned out, but it won't be exactly the way you imagine. It's just impossible. And then when that moment's gone, you're going to keep on going. You're just going to keep burning through that fuse. You got to quit being hung up on past, the future, and start thinking about how you're living right now. And this is how you'll live for the Lord right now. Where are you at right now? Where are you at right now in your faith? What are you doing right this minute? Because if you pile up enough right now so they're going in the right direction, then you're going to wind up probably in a place where you want to be versus where you don't want to be. And you will walk and you will grow in your faith in the Lord. Anyway, we got to wrap up on that note. Again, I hope you got something out of it. I come up with this week in and week out, come up with these things. It's always a goal where somebody hears it and it's like after the show, they're like, wow, that makes a difference. I didn't realize, how I was... tying myself down. Now I can start moving forward in my faith. I felt like I've been stuck in the mud. I'm not moving forward and I'm praying, but nothing's happening. And it winds up all along, it was you that's been holding yourself back. You can see why I was worried that this would just sound like some motivational speaking MCC discussion this week. Not my intention. Intention is that you can get yourself moving. Quit chaining yourself. Quit limiting yourself. Quit getting hung up on something that hasn't even happened yet or may not even happen. Get yourself moving. What are you doing right now? How are you living your right now? How are you walking with the Lord right now? We're going to wrap up on that note. Thank you again. For those of you, don't be shy. Pay those tithes. It is very much appreciated. We're going to back on out of here, and we'll see you again here next week for the Parish of the Patriots.